When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Take two. Here we go. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. You know, towards the, I guess the last hour of the show, we were talking about how the Larry Johnson four-point ball is missing.
Yep.
We had a guy who got the ball, I guess, the night of the game, right? Did the ball go in the crowd? Somehow this guy got the ball.
Don't know the story, yeah.
And a couple of years ago, the guy came in, he wanted to give it to Boomer so that Boomer could auction it off for his charity, Boomer Esiason Foundation. So for the past year or so, Boomer has had this ball, and they tried to get it into the hands of, where they got it into the hands of Wally Szczerbiak to get signed by Larry Johnson. The ball is now lost. Wally gave it to somebody at a restaurant or something to give to Larry Johnson. We don't think Larry Johnson ever got the ball. The ball is now lost. But it reminded me, because so many times when we would watch these shows like, you know, those
memorabilia shows?
Yeah, even the memorabilia shows and like even like the pawn shop type shows.
Yeah.
Where people would have these unique items. You'd be like, oh, how did you get this? Mm-hmm. And there's always some weird story to it. And now that's
going to be a story.
Going on right now. Because
yes,
now the Larry Johnson basketball is somewhere in Manhattan, or was left somewhere in Manhattan. And now that ball is just going to eventually surface somewhere, I suppose. Although
the question would be, would anybody even know, though?
Right. Do the people know that this ball is the Larry Johnson four-point ball?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very bizarre. And I feel like there's a story here somewhere, and that we may eventually get the actual ball back, or we may not.
You may not. I mean, the story could be very simple, as it ended up in the Tao restaurant, and someone took it home and they brought it to a playground and used it, not knowing, and it was kicked to the side. Who knows?
And they're playing, it's just a ball now in a park.
In a bin somewhere.
Yeah.
May never find that ball.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And here's my question to you, and I don't know if this was brought up or not. I didn't get to hear the whole segment. Is the ball marked as such?
I don't think so.
Like, does it say commemorative or the ball? Or if not, it's just the basketball.
Right, but the guy who originally has the ball got it that night at that game.
No, I know. What I'm saying is if someone would find it,
like
if it doesn't say the date or anything.
Nothing.
Then someone is just finding a basketball.
I know.
And it doesn't look like anything. No, who would know?
But by the way, we're more conscious of it nowadays in every sport. Guy gets his first hit, guy gets his first strikeout, we're saving balls. Tom Brady's third touchdown pass of the Super Bowl, let's save that ball.
Sure.
Gronk's spike after a key touchdown in a wild card game, we're saving that ball. We save everything now.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an era where these things just existed and didn't get saved and just got put back into play.
Everything pre-1980s.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, when did we really start going nuts?
I think when baseball cards became popular, memorabilia became a thing. Like, when I was a kid, there were not, I'm sure there might have been, but, like, memorabilia shops and baseball card shops. Like, I had a hobby shop that had a little baseball card section in it, but it wasn't, I'm talking when I was, like, 11, 12 years old when I started collecting cards. No one had, like, gigantic memorabilia and card shop. Now you can find them because it's become a thing, but I don't think in the 70s it was anything other than they sold cards and packs.
But is it like, do you think it's interesting? A random kid today goes out on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And he strikes somebody out.
Right.
And his first batter he faces, he strikes out. We save that ball. It's one of how many balls used in a baseball game?
112, I believe.
Right. So even on the strikeout, really, that was just the third strike. Mm-hmm. Maybe the second strike was fouled off.
Yeah, sure.
It's one pitch.
Yep.
In 20 years, let's say this guy has a 20-year career, is that ball really worth anything?
Like, worth
is
anything, it anything? I don't know what it's worth. It's something to him, though. I'll give you an example. So I, it's so funny. I am not a, I've never been in 14 years of coaching. I've never been give a game ball coach because I think it takes all nine kids or 12 to, you know, play and win. If a pitcher throws a great, now listen, you throw a no hitter, we'll give you the ball. That's fine. But if a pitcher throws a great game, if the guys behind him don't make the plays, it's not a great game. If the offense doesn't score, your great game could be a 0-0 tie going to extra innings. It takes everybody. So I've never been a game ball guy. But what I do think is cool, especially when kids are 11, 12 years old, when they hit home, like Linda, I don't mean an inside the park home run. I mean legit home runs. Your first one, you do throw a no-hitter, you get the game ball. Like Joseph's got all, he had his 12 years, his 11, when he was 11, he hit his first two home runs. He's got those two balls, which is cool, and then we marked them. And then he got all his home run balls from 12U, and he threw like four no-hitters growing up. He's got all four of those for the final out. Personally, those are great memories. And to have in a ball casing, it's very, even he thinks it's cool. But what is it worth? It's worth something to you. I don't know that now I guess if it turns out to be Pedro Martinez and you can prove that this was the final out of his first major league win, I'm sure there's a crazy baseball fan that would pay a lot for that, but other stuff.
Like if you were running an auction house and I said to you, Jerry, I go, I have Aaron Judge's first home run as a high school ball player.
Yeah.
Is that worth anything?
I think it would be.
On the open market?
I think it would be because you've got crazy collectors out there that, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of this, you're talking about pieces that are worth thousands upon thousands of dollars, as you say, on the open market. Basically to an audience of people that just want to show you their penis is bigger than the next guy's.
Yeah.
They want to display it. So when people come into their palace or castle of a home, oh, what's this? That's right. That's Aaron Judge's 62nd home run he hit in Texas. My penis is bigger than yours.
And in this case, that's my penis.
But that's what it is. So do I think if you told me that Aaron Judge's first ever high school home run hit Sotheby's, I would venture to guess it would get tens of thousands of dollars to someone with a big penis.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not being funny. You understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I guess it is the more unique an item is.
Mm-hmm.
It just the football ones are weird to me because they, well, I guess baseball too. They change it out so often.
Baseball has been more with memorabilia though than football.
Yeah,
I think that's why because you say that a lot, and I don't disagree with you. It's different with football. Like Tom Brady threw. Okay, where's Roger Staubach's final touchdown pass? No one cares.
Yeah,
who's Roger Staubach? All of a sudden, Tom Brady. Someone caught Tom Brady's football. Ooh, let's sell it. Okay, I guess football is different. I don't know why. It's just different.
Yeah, you're right. The tradition has always been baseball. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, it has.
Just a more traditional sport.
Yep, the baseball cards, the baseball memorabilia, the bats, the balls, you know, whatever. So, you're right.
I booked a cruise this weekend.
You did?
I did. I booked a cruise to Bermuda from Bayonne, New Jersey.
You're doing a Jersey cruise. I like it.
Because when you think of cruising, Jerry, I think Bayonne is probably
you
the
know
first
what I
thing.
Think? No flying.
No flying, right.
Easy.
No flying.
That one of the weeks you gave me?
Yes.
Okay.
I gave you one of my vacation weeks.
Get ready for the summer of fill-ins again and the producer chair is
out. Oh, hell yeah.
Basically off every other week again. It's pretty good.
I put in my vacation time and I said to the higher-ups, and I said, here's my Mike Francesa-esque vacation.
I give you credit, though. You never take off in the spring and in the fall or the winter, so what the hell? Aside from Christmas...
Yeah, I try to save it up for the summer and then the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
So I did book that, but I just got to thinking, like, first of all, I don't even know where Bermuda is. Like, I would have to look now on a map.
It's off the coast of South Carolina, basically.
Okay.
Far off, out in the ocean.
But I got to thinking about just cruises in general. Like, we don't know what's out in the ocean.
Nope.
And I'm not going to go be far out in the ocean, but if you take a cruise,
it'd be far enough.
You could go cruises where you are far enough out in the ocean.
I've taken three.
Three cruises? Where to?
Western Caribbean. I could tell you the islands we went to. I don't remember which ones were on which, but we went to, I've been to Grand Cayman. I've been to Ocho Rios. I've been to St. Martin. I have been to
Curacao.
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes. Curacao is one. That is true. There was somewhere in Mexico we went. I don't remember where. It wasn't Cancun. Somewhere in Mexico. I can't think of the name. Only because I played a brand new Jack Nicklaus golf course there. This was right before Matthew was born. And then the Disney cruise was more Bahamas, and Disney had their own island. But we've been to, and there's more. Those are the only ones that are coming to mind right now. I'd have to look at the itinerary. But Kim and I did two back-to-back years in 2000 and 2001. And then the one with Matthew was 2009. That was the Disney one.
Yeah.
And it is creepy. When you wake up and you're, it's St. Thomas was another one because we went to Megan's Bay.
Yeah, you don't know what's out there in the water.
No, it is. And I always got, the three times I've gone, I've gotten a room with a balcony. I don't like the closed-in feeling.
Yeah.
Not even a window. Like, I want to be able to go out on the balcony. And you go out there, like, you have a drink, and you sit there and start, like, thinking about the vastness.
That's what I mean.
Of, we always talk about being a grain of sand on a beach. I mean, you look, you can't see anything for miles and miles, and you think, what was it like to be on the Titanic? Well, I kind of feel like I have an idea right now.
Mm-hmm. Without an iceberg ahead of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, what if there's pirates out there on a ship that just decide, we're going to take over this cruise ship?
Sure, sure. I mean, the only thing I would say to that is, I imagine the cruise ship you're going on are like these Royal Caribbean ones.
Yeah.
They are so incredibly large. I don't know that a pirate ship could stop them, as opposed to the smaller cruise ships where they can get on board. These things are floating cities, for Christ's sake. So I don't know if you have to worry about that.
Okay.
With what you're going to be on.
The other things I worry about with cruises, and this will be my third cruise.
Okay.
Is every once in a while you hear about everybody on board getting
neurovirus.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want neurovirus, Jerry.
I know. It does happen. And then they lock the cruise ship down.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
That's not a vacation to me.
That would
not. Neurovirus?
No, that would not be a vacation. That would be, think about the poor people right before and during COVID.
Yeah, those people were out on those boats for
6 weeks, I think. Yeah. 7 weeks. They were isolated. Couldn't leave.
Yeah, I also started to think about, like, I don't remember when I was on the previous cruises, like, the toilets are weird there, too, because you're just, like, pooing into a vacuum suction thing.
Like on a plane? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they're kind of more like...
Did you just say pooing?
Yeah, pooing. Poo-pooing everything, Jerry. Yeah. Pooing on the plane, that sort of thing.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to book something, and yeah. I really didn't want to get it on an airplane.
What week is this? In July or
in
August?
July.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So.
Yeah.
The other thing I think about now is...
retirement.
Tucker Carlson was on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Very interesting discussion, but the first... I'm only an hour in. Yeah, it's like three and a half hours.
God.
They really started. Oh, they started with the UFOs.
Okay,
and he brought up a guy that I then Googled this morning. It's a guy named Gary Nolan. He's a professor at Stanford.
Okay,
and his expertise is in immunology and viruses and things like this. But he also is involved with UFOs.
Okay,
by the that the government has brought him in to try to deal with people who have either died or become very ill being in the presence of a UFO.
Okay.
This guy's a Stanford.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's some wacko. But it's weird that, like, they, like, that's a thing now. Like, this guy is involved with this. And it seems like that should be bigger news. That a guy from Stanford.
Well, I've
for
always.
For years now.
I've said this 100 times to you. If all of this, and I'm not saying it's not. If all of this stuff is out there and real, why is it not the front page one of these days of the New York Times or of the USA Today? I mean, are you going to tell me, and maybe this is the answer, I don't know, going to tell me that the government forbids the press to run a story like this in fear of chaos?
But the New York Times did one time run a story about all these declassified things, and then the black and white footage we see from the radar,
sure,
from the Navy ships,
yeah,
and that sort. So it was one time, I believe, on the front page.
Yeah, but I feel like the same thing is, even listening to those two guys last week with Rogan about the, what was it?
The about? Archaeologists.
Yes. It's the same thing for me. I listen to one guy who's telling me one thing and is backing it up with literature and papers that were written with proof and evidence. And then it's the next guy's turn, and he debunks all of it with his proof and his evidence. Then you send it back to the other guy. Well, you're wrong because of this. I'm like, guys, I know the truth is somewhere in the middle usually, but it's like, I don't know. The one guy is so firm on where they're at as archaeologists and what they've discovered and what they will discover. The other guy is like, you're wrong. There's so much more that we haven't found. The other guy's like, well, that's not true because we checked with lasers from the sky. Like, holy F.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, to me, until I see it for myself, I will always come back to, where are the photos? Everyone's got a camera phone. How come Donald Trump, who can't keep his mouth shut for 5 seconds, how come he's not said anything about all this? And until that happens, I'm going to live with the idea of, I believe stuff could be out there. I don't believe we've been visited yet.
The other thing that comes up, and it came up in this discussion too, and from this guy from Stanford as well, is this idea that they also live under the oceans. That they have video, they have radar video, mm-hmm, of going into the water, out of the water, this sort of thing. So that's another thing. When I'm on a cruise ship, I'm going to be thinking like...
of UFOs.
Yeah, and I think of that sometimes when I look at the Atlantic Ocean just from the Jersey shoreline. I'm like, could be anything going on out there.
Sure. Oh, 100%. Well, and then I would guess, let me ask you this. In the last, let's say the last 15 years, let's not get crazy. Last 15 years, how many cruises do you think there have been?
So many, Jerry.
Hundreds of thousands.
It's like when you look at a flight map for the day,
right?
And you see like 3,000 flights.
Correct. You're going to tell me not one cruise ship has seen these things plunging into the ocean?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Like the, you know, places like the Indian Ocean is very vast. That I think there are large chunks that nothing
very possible
goes through.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible.
But yeah, no, I would like to see more video, but on all these guys claim that there are high quality videos and photos that have not been released.
It's amazing that it doesn't get out.
Yeah. But one of the things Tucker Carlson brought up about this, which I found interesting, because he does believe there are things out there.
Yeah, sure.
He says that, you know, people have had experiences. We have seen some video, mm-hmm, nothing great. What we don't have any of is from outer space, all of the satellites that we have. We don't have anything of something coming from another planet to us.
Right.
So that's when the question then is, if they're not from outer space, what are we seeing and what is this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's an interesting question.
Yep.
Some people believe they're interdimensional, Jerry. Interdimensional travelers.
You know, whatever. I mean, okay. I watched, what the hell was it? The Spider-Man? What did I watch on TV? The Flash. I got very confused with all that interdimensional stuff.
Is The Flash interdimensional?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is.
And I know this sounds goofy, but if you watch The Flash, it sounds funny. You might actually be interested in this.
Yeah. I thought The Flash was just a fast guy.
It is. So that's how it starts out, but when you watch that series, I got through three seasons, I think, and then I couldn't keep up. I really, my brain capacity, I'm such a dope. I'm lucky I can tie my shoes these days. It got too much for me.
Yeah. Like,
it got too confusing. But I do think if you've got some time,
when?
And you're looking for something to kill some time, it's a good show. I promise you it's a good show. And do you remember the cop from Law and Order? What the hell is his name? Can't think of his name. He was Lenny's partner, Briscoe's partner on Law and Order. He's involved in the Flash. He's the guy who, he's not the dad of the Flash, but he's the dad of the woman who falls in love with the Flash. It's a good show. And I think if you watched a couple of series, you would learn. They break it. They really show it pretty cool. Yeah, I would recommend it.
And what platform is that on, The Flash?
I watched it on Netflix when it was first out. I don't know if it's somewhere. I would say Netflix probably.
I'll have to Google it.
Yeah, I actually think you'd like it, which is crazy because you don't like much if it's not real.
Right.
But I think in this scope with what we're talking about, you might enjoy it.
Yeah, The Flash was like the next level down superhero.
I agree.
He wasn't Superman, Batman, Spider-Man.
I would agree with that.
But next level down, maybe. He was fast.
This show's very good, though.
The Flash.
I really do like this show.
Okay.
Until it got out of my range.
So he has something to do with an interdimensional type of
character. Yeah, the guy who runs the science lab basically create. Again, it's very twisted, but he basically studied and was funded and created this portal to where you could, because he was so fast, he could race into time and then go back and reset things. I'll just leave it there. And if you get some time to just watch, you might like it.
I will tell you what I'm going to be knee deep in today, though. I'm going right on YouTube because I already did it today. And I'm typing in Gary Nolan.
When the game, the show just ended.
Well, during the show. I didn't listen to anything, but I just typed to see if there was anything available.
Yeah.
I typed in Gary Nolan on YouTube and all these interviews came
up. Okay.
I'm going to be knee deep in that.
Yeah, all right.
Because I got to find out what's going on. The very first thing they brought this guy in for, this Gary Nolan, is in Chile. They had what they thought was an alien skull. And when you look at the image, it looks like what you would think is an alien skull.
And what did they...
So they brought this guy in to say, this looks like an alien skull. He believes that it is a female girl who was perhaps a stillborn baby who had a combination of terrible things all in one thing, and it looks this way.
And that, to me, is another example of we rush to conclusions. Something looks like something, and then you actually bring an expert in, like, let's relax. There's a very logical explanation for this. So I would be interested in watching
But that's
this.
What I like. Like, this guy's, he was coming out of Stanford with immunology, nothing UFO related. They brought him in specifically for this.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at it. He did the test and said, no, it is, in fact, a stillborn female. So the fact that he's now into these UFO things, it doesn't seem like if he wanted to say, oh, this is definitely a UFO head, he could have done that.
Sure.
I'm sure. So I like that he's got some credibility in that. It doesn't seem like a guy looking for a UFO fame.
Yeah. Gary Nolan. I can see it already 15 hours from now. All right, away we go. The warm-up show on a Tuesday. Knicks with a huge win over the 76ers. Good morning, Al. We're doomed. There are UFOs and aliens, and we're all going to die.
Yep. I already gave him, I said to Eddie, I go, you know this Gary Nolan? Eddie was not aware. By the way, Gary with two R's.
Oh, okay.
You see that every now and then.
No, I've never seen that before.
Really?
That's a new one for me.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day. I've never seen Ed with two D's.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't tell you how many times when wherever I am and they need your name and whatever, and I'll say my name is Al, where people will say A-L-L.
Oh, shut up.
I swear. It happens a lot.
Interesting.
Like, no, that's all.
You know what I just thought of?
All Dukes.
Do you think, see, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. So as play-by-play person, you work hard to get names right. But if you see a name like Mike Smith, are you checking that pronunciation?
No.
Okay. I've gotten burned by that a couple of times because you see a name like, let's say, Mike Smith, for instance, and even if you see that he's from
Michigan, Jerry.
Canada.
Yeah.
And then you're doing Mike Smith, and all of a sudden you get someone comes up. By the way, it's Mikay Smythe. It's like, what? I'm sorry. He's like, well, yeah, he's French. His name is Mikay Smythe, even though it's spelled Mike Smith.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting here wondering. I'm studying a couple of rosters for something coming up. I'm wondering if EDD is Eddie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ed D, Eddie. And that's the way they spelled it to be unique. Now I got to go find out.
Right.
In my head, I checked that one off. I'm like, oh, it's a cool way to spell Ed. Maybe it's Eddie.
Ed right. D. You don't know.
Huh.
Mikay Smythe.
Mikay Smythe. Well, and in fairness, like, it wouldn't be crazy for your name to be Al Duquez.
Right.
Depending upon the way they pronounce it or where they're from.
Man, if my name was Mike Smith, every time I was at a doctor's office and I checked in.
Yeah.
And then when the nurse or doctor came out and go, Mike Smith, I'd go, what did you say?
Mikay Smythe.
I'm sorry, it's Mikay Smythe. Oh, sorry, Mr. Smythe.
And then next time you go in, it's Mike Smith. Mike what are Smith. You talking about?
The heck kind of doctor's office is this?
That's pretty funny.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
What's tomorrow, Tuesday?
Thursday.
Tomorrow's Tuesday, Jerry. Oh, it's Tuesday. Not Thursday yet.
Be cool if it was Thursday.
Oh, I love a Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, warm-up next. So.